Never been a sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up with the Spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up with the Spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go when I die. When I die and in the name of the rest, I'm gonna go to the place, that's the best. Go to the place, that's the best.
My my car, drink my liquor from my old fruit jar, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Rock! For the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoe, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue.
Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. A little bit late, but nevertheless, we're here. Had a little printer problem, so we couldn't get all of our stuff ready in time. Anyway, welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, October 21st. Actually, it feels like Halloween to me right now. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, who says President Biden's continued release of our oil reserves is just window dressing that cannot hide his anti-energy agenda. So stay tuned for that. And there are reports that Vladimir Putin tried to detonate a nuclear bomb, but was sabotaged by insiders. Holy Toledo. We are going to take a look and see if there is any truth to that. And a warning to Americans about socialism from a survivor of communist China and Mao Zedong. A little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, how about this? The top 10 most neighborly cities. Indeed, most neighborly cities. By the way, don't forget, I hope you're listening to Senior Voice America, which is on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Tim Bryce and company, they're great, and we hope you will listen. All right, well, I want to apologize. Little inside baseball. We get our stuff printed up at home, and then on our way to the station, we get here normally a couple minutes beforehand, and away we go, right? Well, I ran out of ink, and it was supposed to be a simple process of replacing the ink cartridge. And Ed is shaking his head, so he understands what I must have gone through. Ed, I had 2 minutes of pure, let me put this this way. I think I was as close to the gates of hell as a man can be and still be alive, okay? I was so upset about not being able to insert that cartridge. It was the black ink cartridge. Yeah. that I thought I had ruined my printer. And really? Here I am, I'm looking at the clock, and of course, you know, it takes me a few minutes to get here, and I'm just going, this is an absolute nightmare. I must be dreaming.
It's so you'd be bad. Stopping and picking up a new printer on the way
anyway,
back.
Anyway, enough about me. We got things to talk about here. Among them, I think I mentioned to you, Vladimir Putin possibly tried to detonate a nuclear weapon. And it is claimed that insiders in the Politburo sabotaged his attempt. Now, this comes from one of the British daily newspapers that brought this possibility up. Said they were unconfirmed reports that Putin tried to detonate a nuke, but that his plans were sabotaged by top Kremlin officials. There may also be issues due to technical failures. Well, I hope it's that a little bit of both, if you want to know the truth. In other words, we don't want Vladimir Putin being able to do anything like this. In recent days, there's been a series of notice warnings to Russian sea vessels indicating tests or live firing drills, but few indications of any major testing. At the same time, there are claims that earlier this month, Putin ordered two nuclear missile tests, which did not, in fact, take place. An expert on Putin, his name is Valerie Solovey, said that Putin's decision on the use of tactical nuclear weapons would no doubt face resistance among the insiders in the Kremlin. He said, I don't know how effective the resistance would be, but I'll indicate that nuclear tests were supposed to be held over the past 2 weeks, one in the Barents Sea underwater and the second underground in the Arkhangelsk region. But both times the tests were not held. Anyway, so much for that. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, Myron Ebell.
Come on.
Come on, let me show you where it's at.
Come on.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so much for being with us, and we are delighted to have back an old buddy of ours, Myron Ebell. He is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he's a former energy and environmental advisor to President Trump, and he must be tearing his hair out watching Joe Biden deplete our oil reserves. And in fact, he has been talking about it, and he claims that it's really kind of window dressing that cannot cover up the anti-energy agenda of Joe Biden. Myron, welcome back.
Thanks, Paul. Good to hear you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a delight to have you back as always. But here is Joe Biden. I guess we're down to about half of our oil reserves now. He's used about one half. And he continues to want to use it So the first question I have, Myron, does it have anything to do with the November elections?
Yes, I think suspicious minds might conclude that it's all about trying to convince voters that the president really is trying to do something about high gasoline and diesel and other energy prices, when in fact, of course, he and his administration are doing everything they can to raise energy prices for consumers. But, you know, we'll see more of that after the election, but right now we're talking about getting gas prices down.
Are we actually getting the prices down? I'm watching the pump. I don't know what the oil reserves are doing. Are they really making any kind of a difference?
Well, it's a big drop in a big bucket. It could reduce prices a few cents a gallon for a couple of weeks or for a few weeks. But that's not important. I mean, we use 15 million barrels is, you know, like one day's supply, and the world uses over 100 million barrels a day. So this is just kind of, it's just playing. It's all smoke and mirrors. There's no reality here. He has done nothing. The American people perhaps should understand that if they voted for Joe Biden, they voted for higher energy prices. He said we were going to get higher energy prices. We were going to get rid of using oil and natural gas and coal. We weren't going to have new production. We're going to stop new production. So everybody who wasn't paying attention during the campaign should go back and look at what he said. They're doing exactly what they promised, but they understand that it's very unpopular, and so they're trying to get around the election and contain their losses and hope that somebody will believe them that they're actually trying. No, they're not. Every department of government has a climate bureau in it, or a climate program, or a climate office. The Interior Department is doing everything it can to lock up natural resources on federal lands in the West. There's no progress on infrastructure in terms of approving and pushing for new pipelines, new expanded oil refineries, none of that. They want less. They want higher prices so that renewables and electric vehicles become competitive.
Myron, let me ask you a question. If the Republicans can end up taking control of both houses of Congress, despite President Biden, is there anything that they could do to boost oil production in our country?
Well, I haven't mentioned one thing that I think is very important, and that is that the Biden administration is using their regulatory powers and also just haranguing and bad-mouthing investment in oil and gas and coal. So, we've got the Security and Exchange Commission is moving forward with this so-called ESG rule to make companies report on their climate risks and the risks of climate policies. But other people in the Biden administration are telling the financial community, don't invest in oil and gas because it has no future. And so they're scaring investment out, and so we're not going to see new production. Eventually, in the next few years, we're going to see declining production because people are afraid to invest in it because of government action. So I think the Congress could change that dynamic by making it clear that the Congress is in favor of more energy production. I also think that Congress appropriates money for the federal government, and if the Republicans take over and they have courage and determination, they can start cutting back on some of these regulatory agencies so that they can't regulate so much, and particularly the Environmental Protection Agency. President Trump in his first budget proposed a 31% cut at EPA. Well, what did the House Republicans, who were in the majority at the time, give him in their appropriations bill? they gave him a 6% cut at EPA. So that won't do. I mean, we need to think about 20, 30, 40% cuts in among of the regulators, and then we'll get a lot less regulation.
We're talking with Myron Ebel. He is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And he was the former energy and environment advisor to President Trump. Well, so we got Biden. We figure that he is not going to change his stripes, no matter what Congress tries to do. But he must realize that the Democrats are going to basically be swept out of Congress, mainly, I think, because of the energy policies, which lead to higher prices for everything else.
Well, Paul, you know, I don't do elections, and I'm not going to give people advice on how to vote. I would say that the current administration and the Democrats in Congress are in favor of higher energy prices by their actions. By their words, they're against it. So, you know, voters will have to choose whether they believe the words or the actions. I won't give any advice on that.
Oh, I understand it. So how long do you think it's going to be before we can make this turnaround? If we got all this energy in this country and we are not tapping into it, are we going to have to just wait until we get a pro-energy president? Is that going to be the trick?
There are a lot of things that go into the global market in oil, and now in the global market in natural gas. And of course, our coal use is way down because of the environmental policies of the Obama administration, which President Trump did a fair amount to reverse, but a lot of coal plants were already scheduled to close because of the actions taken in the Obama administration. So there's a long lead time here. The United States has the world's largest coal reserves, and we are currently, I still think, the world's largest producer combined of oil and gas, natural gas. So we have a tremendous amount of energy, but it's being squeezed, the production is being squeezed. What needs to be done? Well, first, investors need to be told that there is a long-term future for investment in oil and gas and coal. Secondly, we need to do something to free up the infrastructure. It takes not years, it takes decades to build new infrastructure in this country, including energy infrastructure. One of the reasons New England is in danger of freezing this winter is because the state of New York has blocked using their Clean Water Act authority under the Federal Clean Water Act. New York State has blocked something like 5 pipelines to New England. So infrastructure is a big deal. It takes a long time, and it's going to take the political establishment is going to have to free up the market and let people invest in things that will solve our energy problems. Government planning isn't going to do it.
Indeed. Myron, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much for coming, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, sir. Myron Ebel of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break. When we come back, Vice President Mike Pence, ex-Vice President Mike Pence, was asked whether or not if Trump was the nominee, would he vote for him for president? We're going to tell you what he said.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this TAN Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for being with us. A lot of things going on. What do we got? Exactly 2 weeks and 4 days from the November election. Can't wait for that. In the meantime, overseas, Prime Minister Liz Truss could not outlast the life of a head of lettuce as the Prime Minister. Did you know that they actually had a head of lettuce that they took out of a refrigerator? Or maybe they put in a refrigerator. I don't know which it was. Anyway, somebody said she will not last as long as this head of lettuce would last.
She spoiled before milk did.
Apparently so. She announced her resignation yesterday. She is the shortest serving British Prime Minister of all time. Now think about that. How long that has been. Hundreds of years. She was in office just 45 days. She is the third Conservative Party Prime Minister to be kicked out of office in as many years.
Think they'll ask Boris to come back?
As a matter of fact, they are thinking that he will be coming back. In fact, he is
interim.
See, the Tories, which are the Conservatives, right, apparently have the most seats in Parliament. So therefore, it will be a Conservative Prime Minister. And the question is who? And Boris Johnson sitting over there in the corner, waving his hand. Here I am. Look at me. So I think there is a chance. Did you, Ed, did you like Boris Johnson?
Well, I thought he was interesting. And I don't, you know, people made fun of Trump's hair, but that guy ran away with it.
I know. He does look a lot like Trump with that hair.
I wanted to send him over to Andrew so bad, you know?
Yeah.
Get that fixed.
You think he does that for effect?
Either that or lack of a brush or a comb, one or the other.
Or hairspray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he is
maybe
a possibility.
Maybe he always drives to work with the top down.
Sorry?
Maybe he always drives to work with the top down.
Well, my goodness, that might mess up his hair.
Yeah.
On September the 5th, listen to this. Truss became the prime minister. She narrowly defeated their former treasury chief. On September the 8th, she announced plans to end a ban on fracking. Now that, to me, is a good idea. Wish we had a president here that would end the ban on fracking. So she unveiled a £150 billion plan designed to limit energy costs for people. And 2 weeks later, she and her treasury chief unveiled an economic package which authorized about £45 billion in unfunded tax cuts, which apparently decimated the value of the pound and increased the cost of Britain's government borrowing. After a week of market volatility, she said that she would stick to this controversial plan. She said at the time, we had to get our economy growing and get Britain moving again. Well, apparently whatever she was doing didn't work, and so she's out. And now she'll hold on as prime minister until they elect a new one. So we'll see where that goes. Anyway, Mike Pence, you know, he's on the campaign trail. I think he's showing up for more nominees than Biden is. Nobody wants Biden to show up and support them running. So Biden went home to Delaware this weekend. In the meantime, former Vice President Pence on Wednesday suggested he might not support Donald Trump if Trump runs again or is the GOP nominee. Following remarks at Georgetown University, he was asked by a student if he would vote for Trump. And he said this, "Well, there might be somebody else I prefer more." I wonder who that would be. I wonder who Pence would prefer more than Donald Trump. Well, the answer is it's probably himself. That's what he was alluding to. In the meantime, Pence told the student that he is confident the party would sort out future leadership. Now, in the meantime, while he was there at Georgetown, he was at an event that was hosted by the Young Americas Foundation. And he was giving a speech there, Georgetown. And during the speech, a handful of students got up and walked out, while other students unveiled a sign saying, quote, "Reproductive rights are human rights," unquote. Well, you know that Pence is very pro-life. So Pence said, "It seems to me that having served many years in Washington, leaders in this nation's capital have never been more out of touch." He said, "More intent on imposing their agenda or walking out on people that might have a different point of view." So the audience that stayed in the auditorium apparently cheered and applauded him. That was very interesting. All right. So let's see here. Little poll has come out recently. Probably more bad news for Biden. It says a significant portion of U.S. adults believe President Biden has not been paying enough attention to Americans' most pressing issues. This is a Monmouth University poll. The poll found that only 31% of respondents think Biden was paying enough attention to the issues that most directly affect them. A 63% majority wish to see him pay more attention to key issues like inflation, elections, voting, crime, and immigration. He's been talking about Green New Deal, and abortion. That's about the only two things that he's talking about.
You got a caller who thinks you're all wrong about everything. You want to take it?
Sure, if I can hear him on the phone, yeah.
Good. Caller?
You know, yeah, I don't understand what you're talking about here. The top thing is abortion, sir. Hello?
See, that's a familiar voice. Well, do you think the top thing is abortion, huh?
It's abortion. You should be talking about nothing but abortion. Now, what's the matter with you?
I think you're probably right. I've gone down the wrong road. I chose the wrong road. I think we're talking.
Paul, can you believe these morons? Can you believe it?
We're talking.
You got. Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say we're talking to our buddy, the master barber, Andrew Ceresi. You fooled me, and I had no idea who I was going to be talking about. How you doing, buddy?
Paul, I'm living the dream, Paul. Right now, I'm painting, and I'm hearing this show, and I say, you know, I can't keep my mouth quiet no more, man. People got to know what's going on here. Look at. You got Putin wants to light a bomb, okay?
Yes.
You got Biden and Fetterman together yesterday. Did you see that one?
Their collective mental acuity is about four.
And Fetterman made Biden look smart.
The funny thing was that neither one could understand what the other one was talking about.
I can't understand these people, Paul. I don't know how many people are Democrats out there, but you people better get your heads out of your rear ends, because this country is in a nosedive down. Our economy sucks. And Biden the other day, our economy's good. I'm worried about the world economy. No kidding, you are. You're giving our gas away. You're draining us down to nothing. He's forcing us to use electric cars. We ain't going to have no gas.
I think you're right. By the way, I got to ask you this, Andrew, and we're talking with the master barber, Andrew Cerisi. Is there any chance for Charlie Crist to win the governorship?
God. Let me tell you something. They should charge admission for this debate Monday night, because I believe Ron DeSantis is going to put him through the meat grinder. Do you know how he has to have a fan under his podium when
yes.
he talks? So the air, he's got to have a fan. He's going to need three of them Monday night.
I forgot about that debate
need three
that's
of them.
Coming up.
Oh, Monday night. We can. No, everybody, this is going to get more attention in Florida than the Super Bowl would. Believe
I think
me.
You're right. I can't wait
Believe
to watch
me.
It. I really can't wait to Paul, watch it.
Let me tell you something. They had a rally somewhere in Florida last week, and Charlie Crist was having one at the same time as Ron DeSantis, right?
Right.
Charlie Crist, they showed him with 100 people there. Ron DeSantis, it looked like a Trump rally. There were over 10,000 people.
Wow.
Okay? Now, if Charlie Crist pulls this off and wins doing a Biden
Biden impersonation.
He's doing whatever. I mean, they're not going to give me a break. You know, I'll tell you one thing that does upset me is Anna Paulina not debating Eric Lynn at all. I think that's ridiculous, and the people should hear them speak together.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder why she wouldn't do it.
Well, she hasn't done it for anything. That's the problem. She wouldn't even debate her own candidates that she ran against. How she won was beyond me, and whatever's going to happen in that race is going to happen. But I think we're going to take a lot of seats, Paul.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right.
People
you
are
know,
fed
the
up.
Getting back to Charlie Crist, I don't even think Democrats trust him.
Paul, the Democrats, they don't trust each other. That's why they keep voting for each other. I have no idea how they think, because their thinking is rear end backwards. You know that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I guess the biggest single question about the next presidential election, which of course is going to be in about 2 years, is whether or not Ron DeSantis has already made up his mind about whether or not he will run for president. I tend to think he has not made up his mind. I tend to think there are too many variables between now and then, but I do think he might have the itch. What do you think?
Well, Paul, I'll be honest with you. It's like I told you, I believe Trump is the one that's really got to handle the next 4 years coming up. He's the only one that can really do it. If I was Ron DeSantis myself, I don't think I would go against Trump for nothing. Because people can say what they want about Trump, and I know we all love Ron. You know, I'm personal friends with
his
family. I think he does a great job.
Oh, I know that.
I think Trump might make hamburger out of him at this point.
That is a very interesting thought. Because as I would want to see either Trump or DeSantis over Biden or anybody that the Democrats have, I fear that Trump has still has too many negatives, whereas DeSantis, quite frankly, I think he's more likable.
Well, he is. I'm not going to tell you he isn't. Listen, I don't live with Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to live with Ron DeSantis. And I don't live with Ron DeSantis. I'm not out to live with these people. I'm out to who's going to get a job done. People could talk about this election all they want. It's not about abortion, Paul. You know what it's about? It's about everybody's pockets. The American people are greedy. Their pockets are hurting. Let's be real. The only one to put money in these people's pockets was Donald Trump.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, now that we got the, for most of the country, the colder weather coming along, they're going to look at those heating prices.
Oh,
and, I mean,
going into
early November, you're going to have some people kicking up the heat And then when they see that heating bill, right?
Hey, Paul, I think for some reason God has given us a chance here for the last couple of days in Florida to realize what is going to be a cold winter, I think. Yeah, and he's going to make it cold. He's going to make it cold so people can see how much it's going to cost to keep warm.
You may be right about
that.
Okay?
I think this is on purpose. I think Joe Biden, though, he told the Arabs over there to hold back on the raising the prices or cutting back production. You know what I'm saying? And I think at this point, they're going to find out what it's going to cost, man. And people are hurting, and that's what it's all about. They could say, well, it's not about abortion. Who cares? I mean, honestly, I told you before, I don't understand why abortion is a big deal nowadays. With all the birth controls out there, it's hard to get a girl pregnant. Let's be real.
I don't think it really is as big an issue as Democrats are making it out to be. I really don't.
No, they got nothing else to talk about.
I think you're about right.
They got, wait till people hear Putin wants to light a bomb. What, are you kidding me? I got news for you. If Trump was president right now, none of this would be going on. Nothing. Inflation would still be 1.5%, buddy.
The good old days. Andrew,
you got it.
It is a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for calling in.
All right, buddy. Let me get back to my painting. I took up a new trade, you know. I'm now a master painter.
You're a renaissance man. That's what I think.
Okay, all right, buddy. You guys have a good weekend. Be
you
good.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Ed. I think we'll just segue right into a little discussion about what's going on with sports this weekend. We've got... Let me ask you this. Are you following the baseball playoffs? Because we only have four teams left.
Well, I am now that San Diego is up two games on the non-beloved Yankees.
Not San Diego. You mean Houston.
Yeah. I mean Houston. I'm sorry.
Right.
Houston. So, I watched a little bit of it, but when your team's not in it, it's hard to pick one to root
for. Right. I agree with that.
San Diego has a bunch of X-rays on there, you know.
Yes, they do, as a matter of fact, now
remember
that I
Blake
remember.
Blake Snell, who our lovely manager, Kevin Cash, pulled in the World Series for pitch count.
Oh, yeah, the infamous pull. Everything went downhill after that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, who are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing this weekend?
The Bucs are off to... Carolina to play the Panthers. Now, if the Bucs don't win this game, might as well wrap up the season because, the Carolina Panthers are trading everybody away. They're basically tanking the season. They just got rid of their running back, Christian McCaffrey. They got they dumped their number one receiver. So they're gathering draft picks right now, and the Carolina Panthers are really bad right now.
Do you think that the Bucs are going to get it together and be able to make the playoffs?
There's going to be some key guys coming back. Center Ryan Jensen, who's a big part of it, who messed his knee up during training camp, could be back either this week or next week. And I still think that you're going to see Rob Gronkowski, our tight end, return.
Really?
Because Mike Evans came out this week and said, you know what, I miss the guy.
Well, that would be something if he does come back.
Somebody
because
light up the Gronk signal in downtown Tampa. Instead of the bat signal, we light up the Gronk signal.
Well, I hope that Tom Brady sticks around for Gronkowski to come back. I'm starting to worry about him.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, real quickly, what do you think about the Lightning? I think they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they are playing tonight. So,
you think...
what are they, 1-3 right now?
They're 1-3, yeah.
Lost
they got some work to do.
You know, that stings when you lose your home opener.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. If you'll get over to the drums, please. These are the top 10 most neighborly cities. It comes from, appropriately enough, a website called neighbor.com. And it says here, the cities on the list were ranked by examining residents' charitable giving, generosity, happiness, and well-being. Now, I don't know how they come up with happiness and well-being. What do you do? Do you say, are you a happy person? I mean, are you going to get an honest answer out of anybody? I mean, how many people would say, no, I'm miserable?
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, here we go. Top 10. Number 10. Des Moines, Iowa.
All right.
Farm country. They're very happy in Des Moines.
Yeah.
I've
land.
Always thought the further away you get from a metro area, the happier. Number 9. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I know you've always wanted to go there, Ed.
No.
Okay. Number 8. How about Poughkeepsie, New York? I don't even know where it is. Is it close to New York City? Do you know?
I have no idea.
You lived there.
I don't know the whole state. I mean,
why not?
Come on.
Okay. Number 7. Now, this place I stayed in for a while, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I loved Milwaukee.
Have you been there?
Yeah. Went through there when I went to a Packers game up there in Green Bay, and we drove through. Some of the homes are so historic, and
there is
it just
truth
seemed
to
like
that.
A very clean city, you know.
And, you know, the downtown, it is actually, Milwaukee itself, they take good care of that city. They really
they had
do.
A problem, though. Remember 2020 in Milwaukee with,
Well, they've had some, like a lot of the cities, they've
there
had some.
There was a shooting or something like
racial
that.
Racial trouble. Well, they have that guy that ran over a bunch of white people.
It, yes.
There was a black guy driving
parade.
A truck
yeah.
or something. But it was actually in the suburb there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. In fact, I think he was on trial recently. I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, number 6. This is the only southern city to make the neighborly list. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wow.
Can you believe that it's the only southern city on the list? I would have thought.
No southern hospitality?
Well, no. Mm. Apparently not. Number 5. Back to the Midwest. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wow.
Good old Grand Rapids. A little bit south of Detroit, I believe. Okay. Number 4. Oxnard, California. I don't know what it's... I don't know much about Oxnard, California. I think it's somewhere near San Francisco, but I'm not positive. Number 3. Provo, Utah. Provo had the highest rate of charitable giving and the highest number of residents who reported volunteering for local organizations. Okay. Number 2. Back to Wisconsin. Madison, University of Wisconsin is there. It's the second happiest city in the U.S. And it is home, by the way, to one of only 5 platinum-level hiking trails, for whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, real quickly, who do you think's number 1? Angelo Ceresi would be happy. It's Rochester, New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Flower City topped the list because of its consistent ranking for neighborly acts, volunteering, charitable giving, and happiness. So wow. There you go. All right. Thank you so very much, everybody. God willing, we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen
CBS News on the hour sponsored by General